Isaiah, chapter 40. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And we will read verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. It's not our purpose this evening to dwell upon this verse, but only to use it as a starting point for the message. What we read here is a possibility that exists for every child of God. What we read here is of a spiritual nature. Will not literally mount up with wings as eagles. He's talking something of a spiritual nature. So what we read here is a spiritual possibility for each one of us that know the Lord. From these words, we see that there is such a thing as spiritual renewal of strength. They shall renew their strength. There is such a thing as a higher spirituality, soaring higher spiritually, seen in the words, mount up with wings as eagles. So every child of God has the potential to soar spiritually. There is such a thing from this verse as going further spiritually. That is seen in the words, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Obviously, we can go further if we're not weary. And we can walk a greater distance if we do not faint. So, we can go further spiritually. And that will be the subject of the message, going further spiritually. None of us have fully grasped how far we can go spiritually. None of us have grasped how high we can go spiritually. I don't believe any of us have fully grasped how close we can be to the Lord. As close as we've been, we can be closer. That's true of each one of us. It's important to realize that the parts of this verse that we just made reference to are the results of the first part of the verse, but they that wait upon the Lord, and that's followed by the word shall, that is, they shall have greater strength. They shall soar to greater spiritual heights. They shall go to greater lengths spiritually. To just simplify waiting upon the Lord, it's really to willfully bind ourselves to Him and His will. And when we willfully bind ourselves to Him and to His will, we go further. We go further spiritually. Paul expressed this in Philippians 3, very familiar verses of Scripture. In verses 10 through verse 11, verse 10 through verse 14, we're not going to read those verses. But in verse 11, he talks about attaining. And he's talking spiritually. In verse 12, he speaks of following after. In verse 13, of reaching forth. In verse 14, of pressing forward. And after expressing his longing to advance further spiritually, he said in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or spiritually mature, be thus minded. That is, we ought to all be of the mind that there is more for me to attain spiritually. There is more for me to follow after. There is more for me to reach forth for. There's more for me to press toward. That's true of each one of us. And that ought to be we ought to all be like-minded in that matter. That is, each and every one of us ought to desire to go further spiritually, wherever we are spiritually. And some are in great variety of places in their spiritual life. But wherever that is, wherever we are spiritually right at this very moment, there's more. There's always more. We can go further, and it ought to always be our desire to go further, to soar to greater heights spiritually. So tonight we just simply want to mention some areas in which we ought to desire more, and we can mention many more areas than what we're going to, and you can think of many more than what we're going to mention. But these are things that we each ought to earnestly seek in prayer for ourselves and for one another, to go further spiritually. And again, we're just going to mention these things. We're not going to dwell on any one of them. But it ought to be our desire to meet with the Lord to a greater extent, to see Him more clearly than we do, to hear Him more often. That ought to be our desire every day, to meet with the Lord more today than I did yesterday, to see Him in a way that I didn't see Him before, to hear Him in a way that I didn't hear Him, to receive Him more, to receive Him more willingly into every aspect of our lives, to know Him more fully, to be fully acquainted or more fully acquainted with who He is, to have closer contact, more intimate contact with Him. These are things that we ought to be like-minded in. It ought to be the desire of each one of us to have more of these things, to have a warmer friendship with Him. The best friend we have in life is the Lord. There is no greater friend. But to have a warmer friendship with Him, to have a closer friendship with Him. Again, Abraham was called the friend of God. What a wonderful testimony to be known as the friend of the Lord. I mean, it's an amazing thing that He would be a friend to us. But it's quite a testimony for you and I to be a friend to God. To have a more personal relationship with Him. That ought to be the desire of each one of us individually. That ought to be our prayer for each other. No matter what someone is going through, no matter what stage they are in their life, it doesn't hurt anybody to have a closer relationship with the Lord. We all benefit from a closer relationship to the Lord, to have a greater esteem of Him, to have more reverence for the Lord, to have a deeper sense of His presence. We all know that God is omnipresent, but to have a deeper sense of His presence, to get up every morning and just feel the presence of God, to walk through the day and just feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, for a deeper feeling of the Lord's presence. And again, we can all go further in all of these areas to have greater experience of Him Not that he's just a topic of conversation, but that we have a personal experience, a personal everyday experience of who he is. Again, we ought to desire to go further in that area. To have a greater experience of the things of God, the teachings of God, that they would be more of a reality in our life, that they would have more relevancy in our life. And for them to have more relevancy in our life, they have to be more of a reality in our lives. Again, it's a sad life to know things in our head and then them not be relevant to our situation. God is always relevant, but we don't always realize the relevancy of the Lord and the things of God, the teachings of God in our life. To have our hearts more occupied with God and less occupied with the things of the world. To just be more and more occupied with God. To find ourselves thinking more and more about God. That he would be more and more the focal point of our life. More and more the emphasis of our life. Again, we can all advance in these areas. No matter how far we've come. There's a ways to go. To be more and more aware of God's blessings. And again, many times, some of God's greatest blessings are the things that we don't at first look at as blessings. That do not necessarily make us happy. But we need to be aware of the blessings of God. To be aware of his love. To live in the awareness of the love of God. To live in the awareness of his power. As we've already said, his presence. To live in the awareness of God's provision every day. To just realize that what we have is because God has given it to us. The present right now is a gift from God. To worship him more, to praise him more, to thank him more. These are things that we ought to long to do. To be able to be like Job and to worship God in the most dire of circumstances, to be able to just fall to our knees and worship and thank the Lord, and to be able to praise him in such times, and to be able to thank him in such times. Every one of us ought to thank God every single day. And I wonder how many times people go through a day without even thanking God for their salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. We our minds go in 1,000 different directions. And we forget what God has done for us. And all that we would be able to walk further, to run further in these areas, to soar higher as the eagle in all of these areas, to be more sensitive to him. It's a sad thing when we're not sensitive to the voice of God. God's always speaking, but many times we're not listening. And God is always showing us things, but many times we're not seeing. We need to be sensitive to the voice, sensitive to whatever it is that God is showing us. And God's going to show us different things because we need different things at different times in our lives. You may say, well, why didn't I see that before? Because you didn't need it before. Need it now. But be sensitive to what God shows us, to be sensitive to what God says to us, to die more and more to sin. That ought to be our desire every day, to die more and more to sin. I mean, one day when we leave this life, sin will no longer be a problem, no longer be an issue. But until then, sin is always a problem. Sin is always an issue in our own lives. We all have sin. We all sin every single day. And some have victory over a particular sin, someone else might not. You may not struggle with a particular sin, someone else might. But I guarantee you that every single one of us struggle with sin every single day. And we deal with the effects of sin and the consequences of sin every single day, whether it be the effects of other people's sins or whether it be the effects of our own sins. But all to die more and more to sin, that ought to be a prayer. And to be more and more crucified to the world, that is, that this world just becomes less and less interesting to us. And I do think that as we get older, the world does tend to mean less to us than when we were younger. It's less important. But that ought to be true no matter what our age. It ought to be true of us spiritually that we are becoming more and more crucified to the world. And the fashions of this world and the ideas of this world and the pursuits of this world just mean less and less and less every single day. To be more and more set apart for the Lord, more and more set apart from the world, more and more surrendered to God. Again, we sing the song, "I Surrender All." There isn't anyone who can honestly sing that song. It ought to be our prayer that God would help us to surrender all. And we ought to pray every day that God would cause us to be more and more surrendered, more and more willing to relinquish all for Him. I mean, let's be honest. The reason we don't surrender all is because there's things we don't want to surrender. I mean, it's just the honest truth. There's things we just don't want to let go of. Even though they do hinder us spiritually, we don't want to let go of them because we enjoy them. But all to just be more and more willing to relinquish whatever God says to let go of, that we could just let go of it. To have more and more victory over sin, which goes along with dying more and more to sin. To just follow Him more fully. To look at Him as our shepherd. And to just follow in His steps. Not to follow the footprints of the world, but to follow the footprints of Jesus Christ. Because if you look, every area of your life, you can see by faith the footprints of Christ, where Christ would lead us. And we need to follow. We need to follow those footprints. And all we ought to desire to have our lives show forth Christ more than they do now. That our lives would reflect Christ more than they do now. That ought to be our prayer every day. Whether we go to work, whether we go to school, whether we go to the store, it doesn't matter. Wherever we go, whether we're talking to our neighbors, that our lives would show forth Jesus Christ. That our lives would reflect Jesus Christ. No one here wants the testimony of, well, if they go to that church, I sure don't want to. Nobody here wants that testimony, but we have to be careful. We have to show forth Jesus Christ, which goes along with we need to have more of Christ in our lives. We need to examine ourselves. How much of Christ is really in our lives? More of Christ in our interests. There's nothing wrong with having other interests. It's a matter of how far we go with those interests. We all have different interests. But we ought to all be praying that we would have more of Christ in our interest, and that no worldly interest would ever even compete with Christ. More and more of Christ in our ways. We all have ways. But all to have more and more of Christ in our ways. More and more of Christ in our feelings. We all have feelings. Some of our feelings are good, some of them aren't so good. But all to just have more of Christ in our feelings. More of Christ in our moods. We all have moods. There's good moods, there's bad moods, there's all kinds of moods. There's moods of indifference. But all just to have more of Christ in our moods. More of Christ in our viewpoints. We all have viewpoints. But how much of Christ is in our viewpoints? More of Christ in our pursuits. More of Christ in our goals, which goes along with our pursuits. More of Christ in our choices. That Christ would be seen in the choices that we make. More of Christ in our plans. People make plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans. Just realize that your plans are subject to change. Your plans are subject to the will of God. And your plans are never to take priority over service to the Lord. But you listen to some people's plans and you almost want to ask them, well, where does the Lord fit in there? Well, where does the Lord fit in all those plans? The truth is, He doesn't. But all to have more of Christ in our plans, to have more of Christ in our attitudes. Our attitudes can get pretty rotten at times. That's true of all of us. But all to have more of Christ in our attitudes. More of Christ in our homes. That when people walk into our homes, they feel something that they don't feel everywhere else. The presence of Christ in our homes. In order to have the presence of Christ in our homes, we have to have the presence of Christ in our marriages. So more of Christ in our marriages. More of Christ in our homes. We ought to want more. Ought to always want more. Wherever we are. I mean, you right now, your home may be in the best condition it's ever been in. And that's great. But there's more. It can be better. Perhaps your marriage is in the best place it's ever been. And that's great. That's wonderful. But there's more. There's more. We must always realize that. We can go further. We can soar higher. To be more and more rooted to Christ. Less and less rooted to the world. And again, once again, as we get older, we tend to get less and less rooted to the things of the world, the foolishness. To have our lives more and more about Him, more and more for Him, for our lives to be more and more for Him. To have more interest, to have more passion and more feeling for what matters. You know, we get awfully upset about things that really don't matter. And we can ruin our day with things that really just don't matter. But all to have more interest and more passion and more feeling for what matters. And what matters is the spiritual things, first and foremost. To have our lives profoundly affected, impacted by the Lord. To have His Word actively in us, that it's actively instructing us, that it's actively holding us up, sustaining us, guiding us, stimulating us, more and more of His Word in us. Less and less reading of the foolishness of the world, and to have more and more of God's Word in us. To have His Word more spreading throughout our lives, extending and having a prevailing influence in our hearts, in our memories. It's shameful, the things that I can remember at times. I wish I couldn't. But all to have the Word of God as a prevailing influence in our memories, to be able to remember messages, to be able to remember God's people more than we remember things that aren't going to help us one iota. To have more of God's Word prevailing in our affections, for God's Word to prevail in our wills. We have a problem with our wills many times because our wills are subject to our nature, that our nature is corrupt. But oh, to have God's Word prevail throughout our wills. And let's be honest. There are times when, because of our sinful nature, we don't want what God wants. We want what we want. But all for God's Word to prevail over our wills, conquering and overcoming anything and everything that is contrary to God. To be more and more changed into His image. Again, that should be the story of our life. That we are being changed. We are currently, continually being changed. None of us are where we should be. None of us are what we should be. None of us are what we could be. But we all ought to be continually being more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. The closer we get to heaven, the more and more we ought to be like Christ. To be less and less self-indulgent, self-assured, self-willed, less self-seeking, less self-righteous. Again, more of Christ, less of self. And we can all go further in every one of these areas to be more and more humbled by God. Ought to be our desire. It ought to be something that we strive for. It ought to be something that we pray for. You know, half the things that people are offended by, they wouldn't be offended if they were humble. That's true of me. It's true of all of us. All to be more and more humbled. And being more and more humbled, we're more and more teachable. It ought to be our desire to be more and more teachable. That the Lord would teach us. Be more and more a people of faith. Having more faith every single day. Having an increase in faith every single day. And being a people of faith, we'll be a people of prayer. Again, as we look at what's going on all around us, you would think that people would pray more than they ever have. You say, well, how do you know they're not? Oh, well, it's pretty obvious. All you have to do is look around. If people were praying more, they'd be acting different. They'd be acting different. Things would be different. We need to be more a people of prayer. To pray about everything. To learn to take everything to God in prayer. Concerning ourselves. Concerning individuals. Praying for one another. I honestly believe that people have more struggles today than perhaps at any other time, certainly in my lifetime. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying for one another. And God's people ought to know that they're praying for me. They're praying for me. Everybody here ought to know that. That there is a people praying for you. And again, don't pray that the Lord do something to someone that you're not willing to ask the Lord to do for you. Don't pray, Lord, let them have it. Put them on their backs. Don't you pray that unless you're willing to pray for God to do the same to you. Because I guarantee you there's an area in your life where that needs to be so as well. So we just need to pray. And leave it with God. It's God's business. And we just leave it with Him. To have more and more love for the Lord. That, of course, if that's true, then everything else that we've said will be true. A love that draws us to the Lord, that we just feel every single day drawn to the Lord. A love that makes us more desirous of Him, more determined for Him. It fills us with a yearning and a passion and an enthusiasm and a seriousness for the Lord. Have a deeper love and appreciation of God's house. To love His house more. Again, you get sick, so sick that you can't come to the house of God anymore. That could happen. Before next Wednesday night, you and I could become so sick that we'll never be in the house of God again. And usually at that time, people long be in the house of God. Know that God would give us a deeper love and appreciation for His house. It ought to humble us every time we walk in the door. There was a time I had absolutely no desire to even drive to pull into the parking lot of a church, let alone walk in the door. And here we are tonight, and we have the privilege of walking in the door. That ought to humble us. That ought to fill us with thanksgiving and praise. And to have a greater love and appreciation for God's people. For God's people. And I say God's people, I speak first of all of the household of faith. There ought to be a great appreciation for God's people. Why? Because they're the sons and daughters of God. That alone should cause us to appreciate them. Well, I don't agree with everything they do. No, that's true. And believe it or not, they don't agree with everything we do. But I'll tell you what. I have more in common with God's people than anybody out there. And there ought to be a greater appreciation for God's people, especially the household of faith. But you can even go beyond that. Those who are saved, they're in the family of God. Perhaps they're not in the household of faith. They're not in the Lord's church. But I tell you what, I can still get along better with them than I can a lost person. And I ought to have an appreciation. Well, they don't know such and such a truth. No, neither would I if the Lord didn't show it to me. Neither would you. I'm not talking about compromising, but I'm just talking about having an appreciation for the Lord's people. It ought to thrill our soul when we're out in the world and you just run into somebody and they give a testimony to say, that ought to thrill our soul. Yeah, there could be 100 things we disagree on, but we can agree on that. God saves. Again, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about having them come and preach. But there ought to be an appreciation. Many times we treat the Lord's people worse than we treat the enemies of God. That's not right. We ought to be forgiving of others as Christ forgave us. That's something we have to pray for every day. It's not in us by nature. It's not in me by nature to forgive as Christ forgave. It's not in any of us. It's something we can all go further in. Again, we're not talking about compromise. To be kind to one another. To prefer one another. To edify one another. To bear with one another. To bear one another's burdens. To forbear one another. To comfort one another. To consider one another. And then, as we've already said, to pray for one another. In closing, if each one of us, and I do believe that everyone that's here and saved has these desires somewhere within them. If each one of us would desire and long for these things, and if each one of us would just go further spiritually than where we are right now, we'd have a blessed year. It'd be wonderful. If just everybody went further than where they are right now. We all have different areas. Perhaps I've gone further in one area than you have, and perhaps you've gone further in one area than I have. And then that's true of all of us. But if we would just, each one of us, walk a little further, run a little further, soar a little higher, what a wonderful, wonderful time it would be. And that should describe our lives. And I hope and pray that that is, and I believe it is, that that is our desire. Pray for yourself that God would cause us to go further spiritually. Pray for one another. God would enable them to go further spiritually. Again, we're not all in the same place. And one day can change that immensely. One circumstance can change that. But we can all go further. And that needs to be our desire. So perhaps we need to ask ourselves, How far do I want to go spiritually? However much time I have in this life, none of us know. But how far do I want to go? There's only one right answer to that question. It should be as far as God will take us. As far as the Lord will take us, that we would not fight against that. But that we would go willingly as far as He wants to take us, as far as He would take us. God help us to be that people. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us for a song.